Hey folks, let's spend some time with friends up north. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News is on Lake Wissota. Kristen Bry of Asgos, Wisconsin is along Lake Michigan. And up on Lake Minocqua is Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company. Wherever you are, welcome, because you're up north.
For our primary this time last year, people are still embracing the things that make voting easier.
Exactly. and so, of course, we see this attack on trying to make voting harder. And we, at a time when people are more cynical than ever about government, the worst thing you can do is you know, feed into that cynicism and further suppress voters, you know, unless it's in your own best interest. And that's only for a select few number of people. So yeah. Those of you who did vote, that's great. Just remember that come 2022, not a presidential election year, but there will be a governor's race. There will be a U.S. Senate race. And, you know, the numbers go down in the midterms, you know, in most of the country, but not as much in Wisconsin. So people just have to stay plugged in because, you know, again, every election matters. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more news from up north about the success of elk hunting. And we're also going to talk about a court decision that has cost Wisconsin tens of millions of dollars a month. We'll be back in a bit. You are up north.
I will go back to talking about the election, because I think it's twofold, because I think I had a good friend say to me, I love that I just signed up to get my absentee ballots and it just shows up now. And so that I can not only remember when there is an election because the ballot shows up, but also that I have time to research the candidates from home and that I'm not showing up to the ballot because I know that I'm supposed to vote. And then I look at a certain race and I'm like, I have no idea who either of these people are or any of these people are. And I either blindly fill in a bubble or I don't vote at all. And so what I think in the attempt to this very important position that we just elected for the superintendent, it's a very important position that only 20% of the population in Wisconsin voted on, and there has to be a better way to do this. And so one way is, do we appoint this position or do we double down on just sending everyone their absentee ballot who is registered to vote? But that's a radical idea. So.
Well, on top of that, it's not even that, you know, Republicans in states like Georgia and Wisconsin are fighting the sending of absentee ballots, but just sending applications for absentee ballots. And it's been proven time and time again, when you send the applications, not the actual ballot, but when you send the applications, people fill them out and they want the ballot. They want to vote. They want to take part in it. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we have to encourage from folks. So now we're going to take that break. We're going to come back, talk about some issues up north and statewide as well here on the Up North Podcast. This is the part of the program where we take a moment to engage in some shameless self-promotion. And since this whole podcast was Kirk's idea, why wouldn't we take a moment and let the man talk about what's new at the Minocqua Brewing Company? Kirk, what's happening?
Thanks, Pat. So I just wanted to say a few things. 5% of all the profits of Progressive Beer go to our super PAC. When I say Progressive Beer, we call it, we're selling Biden Beer, Kamala, Bernie Brew, and Fair Maps IPA. And 5% of all that money goes to our super PAC, which we lovingly refer to as dark money meant for good. And right now we're focused on gerrymandering, because with gerrymandering, we get legislators like Rob Swearingen and Tom Tiffany who live in the North Woods, but side with the pollution lobby over its citizens because they know they're going to get reelected no matter what they do. Gerrymandering allows the legislature to never meet and instead just sue our governor because they know that they can't get voted out of office for being lazy. We made a Fair Maps IPA to educate people about this problem, are investing heavily in phone banking, radio ads, and billboards to keep this issue out front and center. So if you'd like to support this effort, please buy our beer, buy our t-shirts, or donate straight to the Super PAC. You can find out how to do all that stuff by going to our website, which is www.minocquabrewingcompany.com.
All right, thank you, Kirk. Kristen, let's get in a plug for what folks can find at Asgos, Wisconsin these days.
As Goes Wisconsin is a social media videos on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook that are always 60 seconds or less, that take everything that is headlines, history, comedy, and Wisconsin. So basically trying to make the super complicated super not by telling you what's going on and also making you feel good about being from or living currently in Wisconsin. And so you can find that at As Goes Wisconsin on any of the social medias you find yourself on.
All right. And as managing editor of Up North News, a digital newsroom, you can find at upnorthnewswi.com or Up North News WI on social media. Don't forget the WI. This is the part where I add that the Up North podcast is not a production of Up North News, but if our little show here gets you to support any of the daytime jobs you just heard about, isn't that a win-win for all of us here? We also want to thank Devil's Advocates Radio, where we air live on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And the Up North podcast is made possible by Sitecast, a leading nationally recognized website solutions firm based in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, because, hey, nerds live up north too. Now, back to the show. All right, welcome back to the Up North podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow on Lake Wissota, Kristen Brise over by Lake Michigan, Kirk Bangstead up on Lake Minocqua. And we want to talk a bit about some of the natural resources up north. For some good news about the state's growing elk herd, the DNR is planning the fourth elk hunt in state history this fall in the northern zone. The application period is open through May 31st. The elk population centered around Clam Lake rose to 300 animals in the past year, and it's healthy thanks to back-to-back mild winter. Elk were eliminated from Wisconsin back in the 1880s, so it's a nice comeback to have seen over all these years. Residents can purchase license applications through gowild.wi.gov, and I add parenthetically, elk steaks are the best. But maybe you just have to have a son-in-law who's a hunting guide in order to find that out, Kirk, because apparently you haven't had elk steaks.
I also have not had elk steaks. See, when I heard this, I was like, I mean, I believe that they're probably really good, but I'm like, are they really the best? Because the best steaks for me are the ones with, like, they massage the fat of the cow. And so you have all that, like, real juicy meat, like Wagyu or whatever. Elk don't have a lot of fat on them.
No, nobody massages an elk. My God, Kirk, you would die. There's no massaging the elk.
Strong hind legs on those elk.
Well, I don't know if he would die so much as, since he's not a domesticated animal. I don't know who, like, what elk is letting any human get close enough to him to, like, massage it before they.
That's why it's gamey. That's why it's got to be a little gamey, I'm guessing.
Is there thoughts that this is going to be run a little bit better than the wolf hunt was? Because that's exactly where my
this one has some experience behind it. There have been a few already, so hopefully, okay, unlike the wolf hunt, things will go a little better. Now, the news isn't as good for sportsmen and women in another area. A new study has revealed that mercury contamination from way back when continues to be found in fish near the shorelines of the Great Lakes. This particular study focused on the Superior Duluth area, where they studied whether the mercury found in fish is a relatively recent form of poisoning or from past industrial contamination. And it's the older contaminants that continue being passed on to successive generations of fish, meaning outdoor recreation up north and all over Wisconsin continues to pay a price from unchecked pollution from generations ago. And that takes us into a story we don't have nearly enough time to get into, but that is how Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce continues going to court, trying to stop the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources from looking for things like, you know, pollution from so-called forever chemicals, also known as PFAS. Now a judge is letting the testing resume, but saying the DNR can't make public its results. So the job is still being only halfway done, and it seems a little odd to believe that that's what most businesses in the state want, is for their big business lobby to make it harder to find and clean up pollution. You're so, up north. We'll be right back.
Bry on Lake Michigan. I am also here with Kirk Bangstad, who is on Lake Minocqua, and Pat Kreitlow on Lake Wissota.
All right, Kristen. So I wanted to talk about this issue. We just heard from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week that because the state Supreme Court, like, overturned the emergency mask mandate on March 31st or March 30th, as opposed to, like, April 1st, that somehow that technically makes us not able to get, I think, around $40 million of emergency food share. It's otherwise known as food stamps or nutritional benefits that struggling families in Wisconsin need. So let's like unpack that a little bit. Robin Voss and the Republicans like sued Evers because he's not supposedly like allowed to have an emergency mask mandate, for more than like 60 days. They sued him. The conservative Supreme Court backed that. And now, because these guys didn't do their homework before they sued, millions of dollars aren't going to hungry families. And we've got 242,000 people that are on food stamps right now, and that's an increase by 140,000 since the pandemic started. If a low-income senior citizens who were earning $204 per month now stand to only get $16 per month for food stamps. So guys, this is crazy. What's going on here?
But my question is, it's not that they didn't do it, because this story broke back when the attempt from, Pat, you can probably tell us this, but it was either the state Senate that did pass overriding the mask mandate, or it was the assembly that overrode it. But then like 2 days later, the Journal Sentinel broke this story.
It was
basically like one chamber passed it, and then the other chamber like decided, oh, let's maybe like hold back, because this story broke, because it was like, oh, we're going to lose out on a lot of money.
Exactly.
And so it's like, they knew that this is not news. Like they already found this out back in January.
Right. But what we learned on late Wednesday from the state Supreme Court ruling as it did on March 31st, instead of April 1st, the whole difference is that families who were going to get that extra bit of food share allotment for May will not get theirs for May now. First, they would have thought, okay, from June onward, but right away in May, again, tens of millions of dollars in extra food assistance. And again, for folks that are wondering, is it all gone? No, this was an extra amount that Congress allocated to the states to help struggling families, many of whom, as Kirk said, have lost work during, this pandemic recession. This extra allotment on top of it, and the only catch was that you had to have, you had to take seriously the pandemic by declaring a public health emergency, which Governor Evers did. But Republicans and others took him to court repeatedly over what I think is one of the flimsiest legal premises that you could want, is that you can't, in their mind, declare a second and third emergency for the same pandemic. And the analogy I've always used is, that's like saying if a storm system spun off a tornado, that was hitting Fort Atkinson, and you issued a tornado warning. And then as the storm geared up and it was about to plow through, Main Street in downtown Waukesha, the National Weather Service was going to be told, oh, no, you can't issue another tornado warning for the same storm system. I mean, this is a pandemic. This is not a single, event. It is an infection, a public health thing that is fluctuating, and to take that as an excuse to, do a power play on the governor and now deny your own people tens of millions of dollars in food aid. I mean, it really says something about what you said, Kirk, earlier about when you're gerrymandered, when you have that kind of security, you don't have to care if people go hungry.
But Pat, so this is the thing, like all that the Republican majority has to do is get together and meet and pass another security measure from the legislators' point of view. They just have to show up to work and pass a bill to reinstate this emergency to bring back this money, but they refuse to do it because that would give, in their minds, Governor Evers a win, or at least validate that they also agree that it's an emergency. They're willing to let Wisconsinites go hungry in order to beat Governor Evers in politics. That's what's happening here.
Well, it's a long running culture, if you will, of blaming the poor for being poor. This is a state, one of the few states left, that has not accepted the Medicaid expansion money to strengthen Badger care and cover more people, because the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, has referred to Medicaid as welfare. This is the same Speaker Voss and Republicans who have kept Wisconsin's minimum wage at the same level for over a decade, saying that there are plenty of job openings. In other words, what they want then is, you know, for people to essentially be indentured, that you will work for any wage, no matter how crappy, any conditions, no matter how crappy, because it's the people with the money, the employers, who should be ruling the roost. And that's why you have organizations like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce becoming so ballsy they can protect polluters and fight cleaning it up. It's very much a what's his name? He was here for a while. The former guy, Scott Walker, you know, used to say we're open for business.
Forget his name.
We are still very much, you know, open for business in terms of the way the legislature is choosing, you know, the big business class over small hometown businesses, workers and customers, Kristen.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, this is exactly what Voss also tweeted out this morning. I mean, as far as the withholding, unless you play with my politics, and this is, I had sent this out this morning being like, oh, for a nonpartisan election.
Oh, we're talking about the state superintendent election. Yes.
Yeah. As far as like, what do you hold, you know, for someone who only represents 60,000 people, it's very, very powerful. And he basically said this morning, based on Jill Underly, who had been backed by Democrats, her winning superintendent, he was like, I refuse to give
another nickel
schools any more money because of this win. And it's the same thing as like, because this mask mandate infringes on people's liberties, care that people who need these benefits aren't going to get them.
All right. So Robin Voss is willing to let people go hungry to beat Evers. He's willing to not fund public schools to beat Evers. He's got apparently control of the money, but guess where a lot of money is going? To our legislators who aren't meeting at all. So our legislators all make $53,000 a year, and they have claimed over $500,000 in per diem, which is like your daily expenses that are incurred while you're working. So seemingly, if you're going to incur $500,000 in like your Quiznos sub and your Diet Coke and if some gas mileage you get to the Capitol, you're going to be actually working. Well, this goes along with gerrymandering, and this goes along with them picking fights and suing our governor. Our legislature didn't meet for 8 months during the pandemic. From April through the election in November, they did not meet. When we had the riots and the shootings in Kenosha, and when we had other gun violence happening in Wisconsin, Evers called two special sessions on gun reform and police reform. They gaveled in and they gaveled out. Less than 1 minute in session for those two very important things, which greatly affected many Wisconsinites. Now, and instead of passing bills to help the citizens of Wisconsin, they sued our governor at three different times. First, they forced us to vote in April in a pandemic when we easily could have voted. You know, we didn't know. We thought this was the plague coming. You know, they ended the mandate to reopen government in May, right before Memorial Day, which threw us into a Wild West with no rules. And finally, they sued to end this mask mandate. So, in short, what they're trying to do is, in my mind, is make life as miserable as possible for Wisconsinites, because we have a Democratic governor and people who aren't paying attention are going to blame our governor for how miserable they are so that they can win in 2022.
So instead of the open for business sign that used to be coming in, if I'm hearing you correctly, as you put it, maybe that it should be, we've been making life miserable for people since 2011.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the new slogan. Run with that, guys. Throw that on your lawn signs. That'll be outstanding.
I do want to say, Kurt, because I did a video on this. And to be fair, this is both sides. Three out of the four top spenders We're Democrats.
Oh, talking about per diems. Sure.
Yeah, we're talking about per diem. If we're leading in with the per diem thing,
let's let the former legislator weigh in on that one over here.
Yes, and I think this because I think a lot of us saw the same thing, right? You're like, why did you spend almost as much as you did in 2018? Because I think it was like 800,000 ish in 2018 in a year that you didn't meet. Because I had the same reaction, and I think the rules are basically like you don't have to show receipts.
No, you don't. And
so this is not a partisan thing, right? This is because, well, Scott Fitzgerald was number one, but the next three people were Democrats. And one was Janet Buley, who has
transportation costs.
Transportation from the and Northern has tip. Very, before very that, bad was, broadband.
Before
and
that,
stuff
it was
like
that. Bob Jauch. Before that, it was Gary Sherman. And somewhere mixed in all that was Pat Kreitlow making the drive from Chippewa Falls once or twice a week. And there's a big difference in getting a per diem for coming down and putting your feet up on your desk, coming down to Madison and doing constituent service work, a lot of which folks just don't see at all, and people coming down and actually being in session. And so Kirk's point is spot on about them not being in session, about them not doing any, they're lawmakers. They weren't making any laws. They weren't taking away any laws for people that talk about, you know, killing regulations. So they weren't really doing anything for that money. And I dare say from my own experiences, you no doubt had a lot of Democratic lawmakers there, some of whom I served with, that were doing, you know, fine work trying to help people negotiate through the system or solve this problem or that problem. And you had a lot of others where, you know, your message might get returned. It might not get returned. You know, some folks still do this for public service, and some folks do it very much just to be in power, just to be in politics. And if you sense that your person is like that, could I suggest voting for somebody else in 2022? You know, whoever that is, you don't have to keep the same person in there, because it's that. And I'm not a term limit person, you know, but maybe there should be. You're up north. We'll be back after this. Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow on Lake Wissota. Kristen Bry is along Lake Michigan. Kirk Bankstead is on Lake Minocqua. Coming up in just a moment, is Aaron Rodgers in jeopardy of being fabulous on your TV every day? But first, we were talking just a bit ago about the uselessness of some of our state legislators and what they're working on instead of the things that, you know, really are important to families. Now, this next one sounds fun, sounds cute, but I'm going to go ahead and start from the standpoint of you got better things to do. But I'll tell you about it anyway. The person that occupies my old seat in the legislature, State Senator Kathy Bernier of Lake Halley and Representative Donna Rosar of Marshfield, have introduced a bill to name the state cheese of Wisconsin. And guys, I know what you know her bill or their bill said, but if you hadn't heard it, what do you think would be on the bill to name a state cheese?
Curd.
Curd? Well, curd, the state cheese.
Right? Actually, that's not a bad answer.
That would be hilarious. No, that's the only one you can get away with, that you don't like offend different cheese parts of Wisconsin.
Well, in my mind, what immediately always goes to cheddar. And I like investigating that. I was like, I don't know why my mind goes there, but like for some reason I associate cheddar with Wisconsin.
Sure. But we have so many kinds here. And last year we covered our news team covered the World Cheese Championships in Madison. And I mean, you want to see people take their cheese seriously. Who is it? Christopher Guest does all those movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind. Christopher Guest, if you're listening, you got to do the World Cheese Championships for your next movie. But anyway, the legislators both have a certain city in their district, the city of Colby. And so, of course, they want to honor Colby cheese as the Wisconsin state cheese. They note rightfully that Colby cheese began as a family farm recipe dreamed up by a young man on the floor of his father's small wooden cheese factory, it says. And today it's world famous and one of America's most popular cheeses. Albeit true, if you think for a moment that everybody in the legislature is going to forego whatever cheese is made in their district and pick one, I mean, again, it's like parents being asked to choose their favorite child, you know, except for my mom, who would always choose, you know, my sister over me. But by and large, people wouldn't choose that. This bill has been introduced before, didn't go anywhere. This bill ain't going anywhere either.
But I also like, cheese isn't wine. Like, it's not like certain types of grapes that can only grow, like champagne can only come from France in Champagne, France, because
bourbon
that's where
from
those...
Kentucky, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure like they could make Colby cheese. Like, it's like, it's still just
outside
milk.
Of Colby.
Like, yeah, like am I wrong? Because I think I learned today that the type of cheese that Wisconsin produces the most of is mozzarella, which is definitely not created in Wisconsin. It's like that's what demand is. So I'm a little confused of like, I don't know. Colby is definitely not where my mind goes though. Wait, when we think about Wisconsin cheese,
isn't Colby like a mix of orange and white cheese together? Like Franken cheese?
Oh, Kirk, again, you're asking questions. We weren't a doctor before. I can tell you, nobody's voice you're hearing here today is a cheesemaker.
I don't think it's a mandatory thing. I only know this because when I go to my mother's house and it's just littered, there's an entire drawer in my mom's fridge that is just cheese. That is just cheese from the Randolph Cheese Factory.
Sure.
Rudolph from Marietta Gouda from Thorpe, you know, up here in this neck of the woods, and everybody's got their own favorite wherever they are. It's just not going to, you know, it's not going to be Cheese Whiz, but there's a whole host of others, you know, that somebody could be picking here. So let's see, we started the show talking about fish fries and cheese. Kurt, you talked about beer somewhere in the middle. So we've pretty much covered all the food groups, right?
We got the Wisconsin bingo.
Yep, we'll go to a few more a little bit later on. So Aaron Rodgers is guest hosting Jeopardy this past week and the following week. One of several people who are rotating through after the passing of Alex Trebek. And, you know, there's no doubt that Aaron Rodgers is a real big fan of Jeopardy. He spoke had a very heartfelt comments about Alex Trebek and about his time on Celebrity Jeopardy. I haven't watched, but I'm hearing a lot of people say good things about it. I'm wondering if, I don't think either one of you are Jeopardy devotees, but one of you said you were hearing a lot about what kind of feedback he was getting.
No, I saw it all over social media because, I mean, but also that when I started to look into it, he studied Jeopardy like it was like game tape. Like literally like approached it like, I am going to study this. I'm going to learn every single beat. I'm going to honestly like absorb everything that I need to know to do this at the level that I am used to doing things at. And he crushed it. Like I think the fact that he also took, I don't know if you saw this, that the whoever the defending champ was on his very first night,
the guy that punked him. Yes. Yeah. That was great. For Final Jeopardy, if you missed it, and I don't know that anybody in Wisconsin missed it, but the guy didn't know the answer. And so the question that he wrote on his slate was, whose idea was it to kick the field goal, you know, in the playoff game that ended the Packers season? Now, I mean, that he took it well. But
it
was kind of like ripping the scab off for a lot of us who finally put that behind us. And yet there he had to live with it. But, you know, he'll be
all right.
But
that's what it is, hosting a live game. I guess it's not live, but it is a game show and getting to leave in all of those things. But he wants to do it. Like came out and said that he wants to do it. He wants to split time doing his job as the quarterback and then doing his other job as the host. And so we'll see if they let him do that.
Sure.
I know is my Facebook feed, at least one woman said she felt like Aaron was flirting directly with her while she was watching.
Of course he was.
I think she loves him like we all do.
Hey, look, if that's part of it is to have that chemistry with the screen. And there's no doubt Aaron has that. Aaron's going to have a future after football. It's just a question of, you know, how many more seasons he's going to do this. Kind of like, you know, Ryan Braun kind of, you know, talked about it for a couple of seasons. And now it looks like, you know, he's finally done. But, you know, we've been pretty spoiled here, as we've talked about on the program before, going from, you know, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. So
I will say that this is going to be my dig on Tom Brady, because we need more of those in the world.
Yes,
that I feel like Tom Brady can only play football.
Oh yeah,
like,
there's nothing.
He might like
yeah, he's
whatever.
Not funny.
There's an argument. There's an argument that maybe he is the best. He has a lot of rings. It's fine. But there is nothing that man's going to do post football. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, lots of things. The world is his oyster. And I think that's great. And he just won MVP, so he's still got a couple years with us anyways.
Yeah, nice. if he wants it, he can no doubt do it. So, well, looking ahead here, as mentioned before, you know, the Cubs are coming to American Family Field Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tailgating is coming back. And, you know, Kirk, I wanted to ask you, being up in the Minocqua area, which, of course, you know, made its bones, you know, with all kinds of tourists from the Chicago area coming up there. What is that like? You know, in the minute and a half that we have left here, what's that like being in a place that is so split, you know, Brewers and Cubs fans during the summertime? Is it annoying? Is it fun? What's it like?
Well, before I answer your question, Pat, I'm going to make this official announcement right now that I'm more of a lover than a fighter, and that baseball is not really something that I care that much about. I'd kind of, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Does somebody mute his mic? I can't hear him. Oh wait, there you are.
I rather watch a Mahler symphony than watch 3 hours worth of baseball. However, owning a brew pub, you could not avoid baseball, and we had it on at the bar. And yeah, it's about 50-50 up in Minocqua. There's, you know, it's the Cubs are big there, you know, and because we got about, you know, half of our population, our own lake homes are from Illinois, so. There was no animosity whatsoever. The drunk Wisconsinites were pretty happy with the drunk Cubs fans. You know,
in other words, they're bringing the money still. And really,
they're still buying beer. No matter if they're Cubs or they're
Brewers.
That's
what it comes down to. All right, folks, thanks for joining us at the cabin this week, where an old-fashioned isn't just a beverage. It's how we like our conversations. Civil, neighborly, thoughtful, fun. For Kristen Brian, Kirk Bangsted, I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you next time up north.